Hope everyone's naps went well. That's what you were having. You know, as Christians, we have a purpose and a duty. We have been given a charge during our time here on earth that we are to be ministers before God. And I don't know that many of us know what that ministry consists of. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth that they were to be ministers of reconciliation. And since we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, God has made us ministers of reconciliation to the world. Jesus commanded his disciples, which we are also his disciples, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. In this passage, we're commanded to preach reconciliation and to reconcile believers by baptism into Christ. Paul tells the church in Galatians 3:27 that for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Putting on Christ reconciles one to God. It has brought man into favor with God by having alienated sin. That definition of reconciliation means to be brought into favor with. When two or more at our odds with one another, to return to being in favor with each other, to be reconciled to one another again. As ministers of reconciliation, teaching the way to be restored in the favor of God to sinners who repent, we fulfill the command of Jesus Christ to his disciples. By being ministers and teachers of the life and purpose of Jesus, when we convert a sinner from destruction and into hell, we change their plight. So why do we have to be these ministers? We learn in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fallen from God because the sin of Adam, now we all sin. When one sins, it separates them from God. Therefore, reconciliation is necessary to rejoin man with our God. And you'll notice the ways of man. Man has separated himself from God and wonders why he does not listen to their cries. God can hear. God has turned from their iniquity and refuses to listen until they repent. We read in Isaiah chapter 59, just the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 59, it says there, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Verse 3 says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to the law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs. They weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies. From the one that is crushed, a viper is hatched. Their webs will not serve as clothing. Men will not cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their path. They have made their roads crooked. No one treads on them, knows peace." Verse 2 of that tells us that our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God. "And your sins have hidden the face from you, and that he does not hear." Those who believe in God are children, or those who do not believe in God are children of wrath and estranged from God, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. Ministers, which we all are, should warn sinners from their plight and turn them from the wrath of God if they can. Paul would write to the church of Rome in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. Romans 10, verse 12 says that there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then verse 14 says, "How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Man must be taught about the Lord. We must hear the word. They must believe in the Lord and recognize their sin. They must call upon the Lord, confess the Lord. They must repent to stop doing their acts of unrighteousness and turn away from them. The believer should strongly desire to complete the salvation process by putting their faith into action, but by becoming baptized into Christ to wash away their sins. None of this, though, is possible without a Christian showing them. It's how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So who is sent? It's the ministers of reconciliation, the ambassadors of Christ, members of the body of Christ. No righteous saint is exempt from being a minister of reconciliation. And that means all persons in the body of Christ. What happens to a man when he is reconciled to God? What does reconciliation look like? Well, man is brought back into favor or is reconciled with God. He's presented as a new creature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, verse 17, Paul there says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, Christ, God, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are to be ambassadors for Christ, God making appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So, what happened? Well, man must become in Christ, must become baptized. Man becomes a new creature. He puts to death the old sinful man and rises up a new man. Again, Paul tells the church in Rome in Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." The old is past. All becomes new. Man is reconciled by Jesus Christ and gets a second chance to live righteously before God. God gives the ministry of reconciliation the ability to testify to what God in Christ has done through him, through Christ Jesus. Man who lives for God, his trespasses are no longer held to their account. Man becomes a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador for Christ. And then to be and remain reconciled to God. Righteous man comes from the righteousness of God. And how important is it for us to attempt to reconcile as many people as possible? Well, again, the letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" But believers become co-workers for God's teaching. Now is that time to return to the favor of God. Now is the day of salvation. Every day that we wake up is that time. Every day that we wake up is the day of salvation, because no one knows when that time is going to expire for themselves or for all humanity. As we get closer to that day of judgment, each precious moment should be taken advantage of, not by the pleasures and greed of this life, but for obtaining reconciliation with God. As ministers of reconciliation, are we warning people of the impending doom? Are we being a satisfactory minister of reconciliation? Are we doing the Lord's will while he is away. Now, pay attention. We're going to finish this up with a story from Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. There Jesus says that it will be like a man going on a journey, talking about the kingdom, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug into the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He had received 5 talents, came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also said to the man with 2 talents who came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." So what happened to these 2 servants? Well, I suggest that they were ministers of reconciliation. That they did as the master asked. They ministered for their Lord. They gained more people but by being reconciled to the Lord, or more talents, and thus the Lord blessed them. The story goes on. He says, he also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what's yours." But the master said to him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and I gather where I scattered no seed. You ought to have invested that money with the bankers, and at my coming, I could have at least received what was my own with interest. So take the talent." So he took the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. "For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So what happened to the 3rd servant, the one who should have been a minister of reconciliation? He was found to be wicked and slothful. His duty of reward was removed from him. He was cast into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So tonight, what servant should we be? What servant are we now? Maybe you need forgiveness tonight. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ, to be raised up a new creature. Whatever your need may be, please come forward as together we stand and we sing.